This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this March 20th edition of Invest Talk, our one-hour meeting with about the money, all our money, your money, my money, how to manage it, how to make it grow, how to understand the risk and not take too much risk, but take the risk that you want to take. How do you know that? Well, that's what we'll help you with. This is all about above average investing for the average investor. Now, last week we had a question about liquidity. That's, of course, a measure of how easily you can get in or out or liquidate an asset. And that's pretty important for investments. And there are certain investments out there that are not liquid. I'll give the most common one that we all know, of course, our house. It takes a long time to liquidate that house. But if you want to get out of 100 shares of Apple computer, you can get out in a second. And then there's all the other kinds of assets in between. Stock assets, some of the stocks are very difficult to get out of because they may be illiquid. Do you know what that means as far as you are concerned? So that's what we want to talk about. If you do want to talk about liquidity, we're open to any questions about that. Liquidity is important when you're talking about managing a portfolio. Now, here's a question that came in before today's Invest Talk. Let's check our 24-hour anytime line. 888-99-CHART is the number.
Hey, Steve or Justin. Mike calling from Tampa, Florida. I was just wondering if you guys can clarify when you reinvest dividends. So if I buy 5 shares, the dividend's paid out and reinvested. And let's say I have 5.3 shares. And then a year later, I want to sell those 5.3 shares. Will the market be able to find a buyer who's willing to buy a partial share? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, let's say a year from now, the buyer will buy my 5 shares. So what happens with the 0.3 share I have, the one-third of a share I have? Do I have to wait till it's the nearest whole number to get rid of it? If you could just clarify that in terms of being able to sell all of it when you're done, if you reinvest the dividend. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. You should be able, with almost every broker out there that I'm familiar with, to sell all. So if you wanted to sell all your shares, they would sell the 5.35%, that fraction of a share. Now, what in actuality happens is the brokerage firms usually takes those fractional shares themselves just so you can be liquid, okay? And then they gather up all the fractional shares, and if they want to sell them, they do, and to make them whole shares. But no, it's not a problem. You can sell partial shares. Just when you say don't sell, when you go in there, don't sell, if you have 5.5 shares, you don't say sell 5 shares because then you'll end up with a half. You want to sell all shares when you put in the order, all. And that should take care of it. That's how that works. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 to see what the market did today. Well, it was up. Not up nearly as much as it was down yesterday, but it was up. That's a good thing, right? Now, here's where you can run into liquidity issues, by the way. I'm talking about liquidity at the opening here. It's with the smaller companies. Now, of course, all small companies are generally much more exciting investments. We all know that because they usually have the high growth, the potential to grow fast. But because investors are aware of possible liquidity risk, they look for larger companies. But let's take a second look at this. Actually, it turns out that the perception of liquidity risk is ill-founded. There is research that shows that portfolios of smaller firms outperform the portfolios of larger firms even at equal levels of liquidity. So you can enjoy your higher performance small stocks growth, except that you'll still be able to get out of the stocks. Remember, the more exciting they are, the more to investors, the more liquid they are. It's the problem with the other end. It's not when the market's flat or bullish. It's when there's bearish. Then the smaller company's liquidity dries up. It will dry up. Then you have the trouble. Now, it's not like you can't get out, but you'll have to, the stock falls faster and faster because there's no one on the other side to buy. There's fewer and fewer people on the other side to buy. Remember, it's an open cry market. Someone has to sell you the shares at a price, and someone has to buy those shares at a price. There has to be both sides. Well, what if the buy side disappears, and the sell side is higher, more and more and more people want to get out because it's going down? That means that price falls faster and faster to find and attract a buyer. Liquidity problems. You don't have that in big cap stocks. There's always plenty of liquidity in big cap stocks. The smaller cap, mean capitalizations, the small companies in a bear market or correction are much less liquid than the big ones. Now, do you have questions about, you know, liquidity or a strategy in general? Give me a call, 888-99-CHART. Okay, let's look at the list of topics on the table for this Tuesday. Financial shortcuts that can cost you money. That's going to be our main talking point. You know, the Fed has a two-day meeting this week. I want to point out what you should be looking for in that meeting after they get out, what they do. And why it could be better to take Social Security at 66 than 70. I've always told you it's better to take it at 70 because you get 32% more money per month. But in what circumstances? Well, why maybe it may not be? We'll talk about what can happen. And do you owe taxes that you can't pay? What should you do about that? So those are going to be talking points today. Again, the Dow is up 116, the NASDAQ up 4, and the NASDAQ up 20 and the S&P up 4. So it was an up day, not much, but up. It bounced from yesterday. Huge volatility, right? We're getting more volatility. That's what you're seeing. Volatility means people are more nervous. Doesn't mean we're in a bear market. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It just means more volatility. Could it turn into a bear market? Of course. But all we've had so far is a correction. And I've been saying that I don't think we're through with our correction. Remember, the correction was like, what, 5 days, 7 days, down 10%. That's a normal correction. Not normal in the speed, but ever since then, and this is what, the first week of February? Ever since then, the market has been working through this correction. We're still in the correction mode. We're down maybe, I don't know, 5, 6%, 7%, somewhere down there. And we may well test that low of 10%, and that would be a test of the lows, a double bottom, unless it breaks through the bottom. Then it makes a new one. So we just have to be patient here. And I think this is going to be the hallmark of at least the first part of this year. Maybe the whole year. Volatility. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. When it comes to making investing decisions, are you influenced by what comes out of Washington? What about those tariffs? Remember how worried everybody was? Worried about, oh my God, we're going to have a trade war. You know, get real. it's called negotiations. That's what we're doing. Let them do it. I can't see a trade war. I really can't. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
To Invest Talk, good asset allocation can lessen risk because when stocks rise, for example, bonds often fall. At a time when the stock market begins to fall, real estate may begin generating above average returns. Do you have questions about the ups and downs of investing? Call in 888-99-CHART and ask about it on Invest Talk.
99 chart. We're going to go talk to Gene in North Carolina. How you doing, Gene?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, your previous caller had a question about selling fractional shares of stock.
Yes.
I had one particular experience I wanted to share with you and get your comment on. Let's say that I hold 100 shares of stock and I had it set. I have already bought them and I have it set so that dividends are reinvested in that stock. And
yes.
In the future, I forget that I have it set to automatically reinvest dividends, and I sell those 100 shares. But the date I sell them, I actually qualify for a dividend that was just, that was just, you can see where I'm going, but that was just, that was granted, but it was not distributed yet. And so my balance actually goes down to zero shares, but maybe the next week or next couple of days, I get a fractional share added to my account because that share is set to be reinvested automatically. So I'm left with just a fractional share, less than one share.
You want to know how to get rid of it?
Sorry?
Oh, okay. Oh, never mind. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to. I'm sorry. So I'm left with a fraction of share, less than one share. Let's say one-third of a share. I found that I could not sell that less than one share, that the minimum was I had to sell at least one share. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I've heard of that. It depends on the brokerage firm. If you could pick up the phone and talk to the trading desk and say, this is my problem. You can't, everything's so electronic these days that you can't, they can't do it. But there's a person out there that you can talk to. And if it's a decent brokerage firm, a decent size brokerage firm, they'll take that off your hands and pay you for whatever it's worth. And they will do that. It just takes a little extra work on your part, and you got to make the phone call. And I've never had that, but I have heard that happen. But I do know that's how they usually work it out. If you're like with a Goldman Sachs or one of the big boys, it'd be not even an issue. If you get to a smaller online custodian, then it becomes more of an issue.
Yeah, this actually happened to me with an ETF, but it sounded like to me I had to actually buy at least one share and then sell that one share with the fractional share to sell them all.
Yeah, well, that's kind of silly, but to me that makes no sense. Why can't they just buy the fractional share from you? And as I said, most brokerage firms put that fractional share in their own portfolio because they probably own some of the stocks, but it depends on the size of the brokerage firm.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call, Gene. Thank you. Let's go to Manu in Fremont. How you doing, Manu?
Good, Steve. You were talking about there should be a buyer for a seller, right? But
I think
these brokerages are manipulating the market with the computer-to-computer buying the calls and writing the puts very fast. Today, if you look, every stock related to technology, big, 11:52 a.m. when Facebook fell to 160-something, and the same time they pumped every share at 11:52 a.m. How come? And they pumped 5-6%. You look at Square. You look at the Shopify, you look at Amazon, you look at Netflix. I think what they are doing, they are manipulating the S&P and creating something that market is not falling. The market is really manipulated by hedge funds, by the banks. I don't think there is a truth in this market. And Fed has to come and raise the 50 basis points, so these bubbles are busted. There is nothing truthful in this market. No buyer, seller, computer-to-computer manipulation based on the call and put. And the weekly calls,
Manu, I got it, Manu. The bigger the players, the more money they have, the more influence they'll have on the market. But manipulation is much more difficult than you think, because the market's much bigger than you think. But the illiquid stocks, there's a lot more manipulation there. It can be. So that's your job. Your job is to put in an order of the price that you want. You don't have to be subject to their manipulation. Okay? This is InvestTalk, everybody. Socially conscious investing has moved from the fringes to the mainstream. Do you have causes or sensibilities that affect your investing decisions? Do you have questions about that? 888-99-CHART gets through to InvestTalk.
InvestTalk continues on a service of KPP Financial. Who's playing defense on your financial team?
In an increasingly volatile market, you need someone skilled at keeping risk at a minimum. See the selection of innovative investment programs from KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. Check in now with your money question at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Give me a call. Financial shortcuts to avoid. Okay, to avoid. Yeah, and here's some ideas or some suggestions. Pay no attention to sunk costs. This is one of the biggest discussions I have with people and clients. If you're going to manage a portfolio of stocks, there are going to be stocks that go up and stocks that go down. If you buy those stocks at good values and they go down, and they do, there will be those who go down. That is called a sunk cost, okay? It cost you X dollars, and now it's X minus something. Then you have all those stocks that go up. Most people look at it this way. Okay, I want to get rid of my losers and buy more of my winners. You do realize that now you're overpaying for stocks, you're buying high, and you're selling low, when you should be buying low and selling high. Do not look at the stock and say, oh, I paid this much for it, and this is how much I lost, or I paid this much for it, and this is how much I gained. What you should do is look at the stock and say, should I own that stock at this current price, whatever it is? Should I buy more at this current price, regardless of what you bought it for already? That's what you should be doing. Avoid the mistake of automatically getting out of something because it went down. That's not how it should be done. If you bought it at a good value, then maybe you should buy more. Not always, but don't bury your head in the sand, by the way. Another suggestion. Don't just ignore everything. Keep your eyes open, keep them wide open, and understand what's going on. Don't put your eggs all in one basket. Don't load up too much on any one stock, any one fund, any one ETF. How much is too much? Well, there's rules. I've talked to them about those rules many times on the air. We'd like to buy no more than 3% of any one stock for a portfolio of stocks. Avoid mental accounting. In other words, people look at it and say, well, how much money did I make today? How much money did I lose today? That's not going to help you. That a market doesn't, a portfolio doesn't operate day to day to day to day. It's not that, you don't look at it that often. You don't worry about it. You look at it and say, are these stocks good stocks to own? Yes, no. Are they undervalued, overvalued? Yes or no? Don't worry about the day to day operation of movements in stock prices. Okay? And, you know, if you're going to, for retirement, you need to put as much money away as you can for retirement and make it kind of a priority instead of an afterthought. That's how you're going to be rich. You can be rich in retirement if you want to. It just takes hard work. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's get back to the 24-hour listener line. Same number as always, 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, Brad from Rochester again. Really enjoy listening to the show every day. I just had a question about HDS, HD Supply Holding Company, ticker is Hotel Delta Sierra. My notes had some changes recently, and I know it's also on the, past its midway price average for the 52-week, and there are some people that are talking about predictions of a much higher year this year than ever before and in the next couple of years. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts on it, if it's a good time to buy or if you should wait or what. I don't have any holdings in it yet, but I am interested. So thanks for your help, and any input is always helpful. Have a good day, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, this HD Supply Holdings, HDS is in Sam. Distributes products for the maintenance and repair of infrastructure and specialty construction market. So that space is probably a good area to be in because of the money that the recent budget was passed puts more money for infrastructure, and that seems like the way it's going to go for the next year or two, more and more money for infrastructure. This is a $7 billion company. It's going to make 316 this year, then 319 next year. 316 is really up large from $1.68 the year before. So that's going to be a big bump. And, of course, the price has already factored that in, this price of stock. It's a $38 stock, going to make $3.18. So you're looking at a pretty low P.E. going forward. So from a P.E. point of view, this is pretty good. The sales growth is picking up, but you know, when I say pick up, it's going from 3% 4 quarters ago to 9%. So it's not up dramatically, but it's a high return on equity, 27%, which is great. So it's a question of, you know, is it can it pick up its growth, as you pointed out? That's what you're hoping for. To buy this stock, around $35 is probably the best price you want to get, around $35, $36. It's at $38, and it's hitting some resistance right now. So I'd probably be a little bit patient and then pick it up a little cheaper if you can. So what's coming up on the next Invest Talk? 5 mutual fund schemes to consider right now. That will be one of the topics on our Wednesday Invest Talk. We're here to answer your questions on any money topic. Call now at 888-99-CHART.
We continue with our podcast. First, a word from KPP Financial. When you make money choices, you try to be objective, of course. Look for the facts. Look at your life situation. Some people choose to work with a registered investment advisor, and one of the most important reasons is to be defensive, keeping risk at a minimum. It's not only a way to share the worry, it becomes a practical matter. A professional advisor has the resources and experience. They study the market. They try to anticipate what might happen. For more than 20 years, KPP Financial has been serving clients all across America. They're accessible, responsive, and maybe most important, the KPP principals invest right along with their clients. They call it parallel investing. And to find out more about that or any of their investment programs, just go to investtalk.com when you're ready and click on the Investing tab. And now we continue with the podcast. Let's get back to your calls on InvestTalk for this Tuesday, March 20th. Gone are the days of Google searching for top quality mutual funds, then looking at your portfolio after a year and beaming with joy. 5 mutual fund schemes to consider right now. That's next time. Do you have a question for Steve right now on your topic? 888-99-CHART is how to reach him on InvestTalk.
Hi, Steve. Justin, this is Mark from Houston. Just wanted to ask you a question about Newell Brands, NWL. I had a small buy-in today. It dropped 6%, around $26.79. I know there's a big move from ICAM trying to take over some board seats, and I was just wondering what your take is on that company, if it's something that I should keep or maybe just sell it. Thank you. Love your show.
Oh, I think you should keep it. Newell Brands, NWL, Newell Brands, Inc., manufactures household hardware, cookware, office goods to volume retailers and wholesalers, distributors. It's a $13 billion company, big cap company. It's bigger than you think. They're going to make $2.68 this year, $2.89 next year. It pays a 3.4% dividend, very big, blue-chip, steady company. Return on equity is only 11%. It's decent, but not great. Big companies that doesn't carry much debt, don't you know, you're not going to get much better return on equity. P.E. is at 10. It's going to be at 9 next year. The 5-year range is 9 to 23, and they've had their recent problems. They have. Sales have dipped for them last couple of quarters, and the reason why Icon wants to buy it is because he sees great good value in this company. He wants to get on the board. He wants some help make some decisions because the value is there. Insiders are buying. We own this in a couple of our managed accounts, I think, because I like the 3.4% dividend, and I just need to be patient and it'll come back. So I like it here. I like it at the price where it is now, and I'd hold on to it. Not that I reserve the right to be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think so. It's a good value stock. Remember, it's big cap. It's not going anywhere. Their products sell all the time. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The Fed is going to meeting. They have a two-day meeting. They have it like every, what, 5 or 6 weeks or something like that. And they most likely will be raising the rates 0.25%, like they have been for the last, what, four meetings or for the last five meetings or so, something like that. So what should you be looking for when we're coming out of this meeting? Well, you want to listen to what they say, what the new Fed chamber is going to say. And you want to know what he's going to say about the economy, the outlook of the economy. You want to see if he's going to say that the economy is looking better, weaker, or staying the same. It's important because if he comes out and says the economy is looking stronger than they thought, then you're looking for, are they forecasting more than three increases this year? Are they moving their forecast to four increases this year? So you want to look for changes in the statement they make. That's what you're looking for. Okay, and also, you want to know if they're liquidating their balance sheet. Remember, they had that $4 trillion. What is it now? Are you liquidating it, or are you letting it run off? What's going on there? Remember, the market reacts to interest rates. Where they go affects the market. Okay? The market doesn't like things are unexpected. So that's what you're kind of looking for from the Fed. Anything that changes is a bit unexpected. Because the market doesn't expect much change. They expect three increases this year. They expect that. That's built into the price. One of the reasons why the market's volatile. But if now it changes to four, oh no. Yeah, they'll get all worried about it. Yeah. So that's what you're going to look for from the Fed. That kind of talk. What changes that they might suggest. And if the economy's getting stronger or weaker or staying the same. Now, should your spring cleaning extend to your retirement portfolio? You may have stocks or funds that need some tending to there. Maybe they need to go and be replaced, maybe. Now, you have to have specific reasons to do that. You just don't do it for change's sake, just because you want to have a change. You know, maybe the change in your life circumstances has happened. Maybe a child's gone off to college. Maybe got a new job. Maybe got a huge raise. Or you got fired. You know, these may cause changes in how your portfolio should be moved, but generally not, especially if you're young. My next visit to San Jose for portfolio reviews will be Wednesday, May 2nd, everybody, May 2nd. You can get to my schedule on that date if you like. It's wide open right now. You can also do it via the phone or through Skype. You can do it with myself or Justin via the phone or Skype. To get your time set up, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, then Portfolio Review.
If you're a beginning investor, should you invest in individual stocks right away or start with mutual funds? Not all financial advisors agree. Talk to Steve about it. 888-99-CHART is how to reach him right now. He loves beginner questions. When you call weekdays between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific, you can have a conversation with him. That's 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin, love the show. Just calling in to get your opinion on XLE, the Spiders Select Energy sector. It's below the 50, the 100, and the 200-day moving average. It looks like the 200-day moving average is right at $68. Is this a time we should be starting a position in this, or do you think it could go any lower, or do you think it could bounce here? Probably for about the last month, it's been hovering right around the 200-day moving average, going right above and then right below. So it's just balancing right in between the 200-day moving average. So what's your opinion on XLE here? All right, I'll listen for the answer. Thanks.
XLE, Spider Energy ETF, seeking performance corresponding to the S&P Energy Select Section Index, Energy Select. So it has fallen from $78 down to $66, $67 a share. That looks like strong support to me. Strong support. So, and it's right near the 200-day moving average. So if you wanted to be in the energy sector, you would probably wait for a break up from the support. You'd like to see some upward movement, maybe above 68 before you think about it. And I even might suggest maybe above 69, looking at a chart. and then get back into it. I would not, you know, you want to see some strength. And it's moving sideways. It's called basing for the last month, month and a half. So it's basing right now. It's making up its mind whether it's going to have another down leg or pop up. And I think you need to want to be cautious until you see that pop up, if you think energy is where you want to be. Energy, I'm not convinced that is the place to be in this kind of market, but, you know, it does pay a 3.4% dividend, and you can wait an awful long time and live on that dividend. Okay, XLE. So why it could be better to take Social Security benefits at 66 versus 70. Now, you know, I'm a big proponent of waiting to 70. I'm going to wait till 70. Why am I a proponent? Because I get 32% per month more. But maybe you should collect it at 66. One of the reasons I have in the past quoted to take it at 66 is if your health is poor. Because, you know, you want to take this money as long as you can. So if your health is poor, start taking it. You know, if you, most people, if you're going to reach age 70, will reach age 90. So there's 20 years of collection, Social Security, with a 2% COLA increase, cost of living increase, COLA, per year. So you want to stay up. But there could be, one thing you might happen, and this is a pure speculation, is remember, Social Security benefits are going to run out. When I say run out, they're going to start paying more than they are collecting in the, over the next years. Not anytime soon, but fairly soon. And what if Congress decides to change the rules on us? They could do it. What if they decide to not pay that extra by waiting until you're 70? What if they decide to use some other formula to calculate? And, you know, might have been smarter to start earlier in that case. But that's pure speculation. Based on the laws that you have on the books right now, you want to wait till you're 70. Hopefully the government won't make those changes and throw everybody off. But they could. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time to get on the line. Love to talk to you. Anything financial, we'll discuss. Now, I know you've seen Facebook. I saw the big move down yesterday, and it moved down again today. I think it might be, for those who want to be in Facebook, it's presenting itself an opportunity, but it did bounce up from a low today. So, you know, this could be an opportunity price here. Could be. There's problem. The issues with Facebook, and one of the reasons why it's becoming more reasonably priced based on its earnings is because it's not as used as the growth is not there like it was a few years ago. Still growing, don't get me wrong, still growing, but the younger generation is liking a couple other pieces of software. But I don't know, I kind of feel like it might be a good price in here. Not everybody agrees with me on that, but we're here for you, everybody, beginner or experienced investor at 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number.
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Dave from Dublin. Looking at a stock, Oak Tree Capital Group, symbol is OAK. Now, all the numbers look pretty good to me. I was wondering what you guys thought. Thanks, bye.
Okay, Oak Tree Capital Group, OAK, O-A-K, is a symbol, provides investment management services focused primarily on distressed debt and corporate debt. So it's buying debt. Okay, and therefore it's paying dividends. The dividend's 8.3% right now, which is pretty darn high. The sales have been flat in the last couple of quarters. Before that, the sales were growing really, really fast, but not recently. So you have to look forward. How's it looking good? What does it look like going forward? And it looks like going forward, it's going to be, that's why the stock is sold off, by the way, from, you know, the 46, 47 down to 40. Because the forward estimates don't look nearly as strong as the backwards. They're going to be down 2% this year in earnings. But next year, they're saying it's going to rebound, 22% growth. It's a $40 stock, going to make $4.13. So that's under 10 PE. Five-year range, 8 to 39. Return on equity is very good at 26%. high debt. And that one of the reasons why the return on equity is so good is because of very high debt, because they're borrowing money and buying debt with the borrowed money. And as long as they get more for the debt and we don't go into recession, that works pretty well over periods of times. So is it a good buy? The best time to buy companies that take on a lot of debt and use debt to grow is when interest rates are going down, not up. As the rates go up, that hurts these kinds of companies because their borrowing costs go up. So the profit margins get squeezed. And so it's a perception that they're not going to do as well. Now, the perception could be wrong, but is the perception, and investors looking down the road don't feel comfortable with that. Okay. I wouldn't buy it. I would not, because I don't like interest. The high debt companies that have high borrowing costs and the costs are going to go up. I don't like that scenario, so I try to avoid that. Okay, that was Oak Tree Capital, OAK. OAK. Time for InvestTalk 101, everybody. Can you convert a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA? The answer is yes. Remember, the major difference between the two programs, a Roth and a traditional, is that the money you put in an IRA is tax deferred, a regular one. You don't pay income tax on that money you put into an IRA or a 401k, a regular. With a Roth 401k IRA, you put money in after tax. You pay taxes now. But for all the time you keep the Roth, you never have to pay taxes on any of the growth, and you never have to take the money out. In a regular IRA or regular 401k, you have to start taking the money out at 70.5, and you got to pay taxes on all the earnings, all of it, when you start taking out income tax. So how do you convert from one to the other? Now, if you decide to want to convert, the simplest way is to have the financial institution that you currently hold your IRA transfer, open up a Roth IRA, and you just switch it over. The day you switch it over from a regular IRA to the Roth, you're going to have to add that money into your income tax that year and pay income tax on it. Okay, so you got to think about that. Think about converting and how much taxes you're going to pay and whether you want to do that. Excuse me. So there's some things to think about. I don't like paying taxes. If you can, if you can avoid it, avoid it. That's my philosophy. If you can postpone it, postpone it. That doesn't mean I don't like Roths. I do like Roths. I do. I like them. The younger you are, the better I like them. But if you have a low tax, income tax, because you have low income for a particular year, that might be the year you want to convert. And you don't have to convert them all. Did you know that? You don't have to convert all of it from a regular IRA to a Roth IRA. You can convert half. And you can do the other half another year if you want. So you don't have to pay all that tax in one year. Just understand what the rules are. Now, if you've been saving up for a question, if you've been saving it up, we're just about out of time. Don't save it up anymore. If you have something to ask, ask it, please. 888-99-CHART is our number. We just have a few minutes left in this Tuesday afternoon.
This is InvestTalk, the three keys to successful investing. Set long-term goals, understand your risk tolerance, and control your emotions. Want some help with that? Talk to Steve right now. The anytime number is 888-99-CHART.
My name is Bill. I'm calling from New Jersey. I listen to the podcast, and I love the show. I did have a question about rolling over a 403B, which is basically the 401K from the thrift savings plan from the federal government. Can that be rolled over into an IRA, a Roth IRA? I look forward to your answer during the podcast show. Thank you.
I'm not sure if it can be rolled directly into a Roth IRA, but a 403B can be rolled into an IRA and then rolled over to a Roth IRA. So it makes sense that you could do it, roll it directly into a Roth IRA. But I don't know for sure. I do know for sure you can roll it over to an IRA, regular IRA. Then you can roll the regular IRA into a Roth. But to do it directly, it would make sense that you should be able to do it. But remember, when you do that, that all that money's going to be added to your income and be taxed accordingly. So just be aware of that. But it makes sense. You're going to have to talk to your bookkeeper, accountant type person. They would know more of that than I do. Remember who I am. I'm just an investment person. I invest those funds. But some of the rules and regs, I know lots of them, but I don't want to pretend I'm an expert in them because I'm not. But they're easy to find out. You can go to the experts. Okay? Now, do you owe taxes? And can you pay them? What if you can't pay them? What if you owe income tax and you can't pay them? What should you do? You know, in your tax return, you say, oh my God, I don't have that money. How am I going to pay that? Okay, here's some helpful hints. Even if you can't pay, do not postpone filing the return. File the return. File it. Because not filing the return means that there could be criminal penalties. Filing a return not paying taxes is usually not a criminal offense, that you just might be penalized. Also, they can penalize you like 5% a month, up to 25%, for not just filing the return. So don't not file the return. File the return. Then once you file the return, then look to see what the payment options are. How can you do this? You can request a payment plan from the IRS. You can delay the payment and say, I don't have the money, but you better have a very good reason why you're postponing the payment. You know, something disastrous happened in your family or something. You can also settle the balance on a kind of a lump sum settlement. You might need help. And that's one of the other things you need to do is get help. Don't try to do all this yourself. Find someone, you know, find a company or attorney or somebody who knows what they're doing. Of course, they're going to cost you money too. But it might cost you a lot more money than paying them than trying to figure this out yourself. So I would definitely get professional help. Okay, but remember, don't not file your tax return. File the darn return. Because that presents more problems when you don't. I know people who haven't filed the returns or didn't file the returns for several years in a row because they couldn't afford it. And it's just such a huge mess they have to figure out how to get out of. You know, it's really a painful experience. Trust me. 888-99-CHARGE is our number. 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Our number is always open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you you want to ask a question after hours, don't hesitate. And you're going to always send me an email asking questions. I get a number of emails every day, and I try to stay up. I fall a little behind on the weekends usually, and then try to catch up on Monday and Tuesday. And then by Tuesday afternoon, I am caught up with all my emails. So if you do have questions, you can always email them to me. Go to investtalk.com. And just say contact Steve or contact Justin, or you know, you can send it directly to me at speasley@investtalk.com too. There's all kinds of ways that you can reach me. And remember, I'll be in San Jose on May 2nd. So if you want to set up at a time, you can do so. Or if you want to just talk on the phone, have me take a look at your portfolio, I'd be happy to do that too. Time to wrap it up, everybody. You can see more about today's talking point, financial shortcuts that can cost you money, right there on investtalk.com. And there's a link to a replay of today's program if you miss any part and you want to hear it. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Justin Klein and I thank you for making us part of your day. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.